Good afternoon. Like always, I'll start with a quick review of Sunday's performance. Obviously, it was a victorious one, our most complete performance to this point this year. Obviously, not perfect, but we played 60 minutes in all three phases. There were errors. There were a lot of positives, contributions from a lot of people. Just a great overall team effort, one I hope that we can build upon moving forward. Obviously, with the challenges that await us this week, hopefully it's a good springboard for us as we continue to grow and work and prepare on a day-to-day basis with the men that we're working with. I'll quickly give you a rundown of some injury status. Nothing's changed with the status of Ryan Clark. Of course, he sustained a concussion in the game last Sunday. We'll continue to monitor him throughout the week. Of course, there's a battery of processes that he has to go through in order to get clearance, and rightfully so. We'll proceed with that protocol tomorrow. Rashard Mendenhall will be cleared to start individual work tomorrow, so that'll be a step in the right direction for him. Jonathan Dwyer with his right quad strain is tentatively scheduled not to practice tomorrow. He's been evaluated today. Hopefully Thursday's a practice day for him. Marcus Gilbert's not going to play. He's out, along with Troy. Stevenson Sylvester is very questionable with the hamstring. Lamar Woodley's hamstring looks more promising than Sly's. He might be limited here to early portions of the week. Obviously, his participation and how he looks over the course of the week will determine his availability. Isaac Redman is scheduled to practice. Brandon Johnson, who missed the last game with a hamstring, is also scheduled to practice. Guys like David DeCastro are working individually and working their way back to us. But as always, guys, we'll focus on the healthy ones and their all overall readiness and preparedness, and we'll work with those guys and make plans accordingly. Looking at this week's challenge, obviously we're playing the defending world champs in their place. That's varsity ball, as we say in our business. But looking at what they've done this year is equally impressive. They're a 6-2 team who've won their last four games. They do things that winning teams do. They protect the quarterback. I think Eli's been sacked 6 times on the season. They get after opposing quarterbacks. I think they've taken opposing quarterbacks down 21 times. They take care of the football. Their opponents have turned the ball over twice as many times as they have, or more than that. I think their opponents have turned the ball over 24 times. They've turned the ball over 11 times. Recipe for winning football. They've outscored their opponents by more than 40 points in the fourth quarter. Another recipe or component of winning football. They do what's required. They've got a bunch of guys that have been on big stages. They know how to win. They're very well coached. They got a stable work environment, and we're looking forward to measuring ourselves against a group like this. We need this challenge. Obviously, we won the last time we were on the road. Obviously, that's been an issue for us in the past. We anticipate this environment being a hostile one, as it should be. And, hopefully we're up to the task. Talk about them from a personnel standpoint, of course. Offensively starts with Eli Manning. Like I talked about their football team, he is a winner. He delivers in critical moments. He's good above the neck. He does a good job of protecting himself. He makes quick decisions. He can make any throw on the field. He looks people off. He's got the savvy that comes with the experience that he has. He spreads the ball around to a variety of guys. I think his number one target, though, of course, is Victor Cruz. He plays outside. He also plays inside. He's got ridiculous stop-and-go quickness. He's instant in terms of build to speed. He's got great hands. He's just a complete player in his third year out of University of Massachusetts. Hakeem Nicks is a fourth-year first-round draft pick out of North Carolina. They like to match him up on a single receiver side, if you will. He's got good, strong hands, a tough guy, a physical guy, one that challenges corners on the weak side of formations, the back side of 3-by-1s, and the route concepts that come with it, goes, stops, slants and posts. He does a nice job excelling that area. Hickson is another wideout that they have. Does a nice job. He's big play capable. Their tight end Bennett is a great route runner. It's a tough physical matchup for obvious reasons. He's big and athletic. He provides problems for safeties with his size, and he provides problems, of course, versus linebackers with his speed and quickness. Very good group. Their running game is rock solid. Bradshaw is a tough and competitive runner. He finishes plays. Got a great deal of respect for how he plays and what he's capable of. He's their lead dog. Andre Brown is a supplemental runner for him, a supplemental runner who happens to have five touchdowns on the ground. And, of course, the third-string runner is a first-round draft pick in Wilson out of Virginia Tech, who also excels at kick returning. They got a solid group up front, one that's been together for some time. Beatty's at left tackle. Locklear's at right in for Deal. Locklear's played a lot of ball, veteran guy. On defense, they're a 4-3 team. It starts with the men up front, obviously. Boy, they create havoc in the opponent's backfield. They consistently apply pressure to the quarterback, and it comes from a variety of people, both starters and backups. Jason Pierre-Paul leads the charge in that group, but Justin Tuck also plays quite a bit, and O.C. Yomanure plays in that defensive end rotation. Joseph has 4.5 sacks inside. Chris Candy is also a talented guy that plays inside for them. It starts right there with these guys. They have a rush crew, a four-man rush crew that they play and employ in passing situations where they have Tuck inside. You'll see O.C. outside. You'll see Pierre-Paul outside. Candy inside. Tough to deal with. Their games are excellent and well-oiled. And the men themselves are talented people. They're great individual rushers, and they're also great collective rushers in terms of reducing throwing lanes and constricting the pocket. In the secondary, they're led by the cornerback position by Corey Webster, a guy that I've had a great deal of respect for over the years. I think he has tremendous ball skills. He never tenses up at the ball. He always plays the ball down the field and plays it with ease. He's complemented by two high-round draft picks, a second-rounder out of Nebraska at one corner, and the nickel spot is manned by Hosley, a third-rounder rookie out of Virginia Tech, who both will represent themselves very well. Role is at safety. He's been back there, of course. He's a big game-proven guy, provides splash plays for him. An interesting addition for them has been Stevie Brown, number 27. He's filled in for Kenny Phillips, if you will, but he's been more than adequate. I think this guy leads the NFL in turnovers. He's got 5 interceptions. And 2 fumble recoveries to boot, total of 7. They've been an opportunistic group. I think that characterizes them. I think they do a nice job of applying pressure on you with their offensive weapons, of course, with Eli at the controls of that unit. And then as games wear on, you make mistakes defensively. They provide the splash plays that get them out of stadiums. They got an awesome, consistent winning formula. We got our work cut out for us, but we're excited about it as we sit here today and doing what's necessary on the Tuesday to prepare for it. Questions?
Mike, in light of the hurricane and the situation in the New York area, do you anticipate any problems with the game from logistics to scheduling? Any possibility that it would be changed, canceled?
I acknowledge that some of those things that you mentioned are possibilities, but I haven't spent any time pondering them. I'm simply focused on the things that are in our control, and that's our preparation as we sit here today. Monday evening is a big preparation day for us, and as is Tuesday, and that's kind of been my focus. I'm sure the National Football League office in New York is looking at options in that regard, and we'll just simply wait to hear what they have to say or not say in regards to it. In the meanwhile, we're going to proceed with the plans and continue to do so until we hear otherwise.
Mike, you talked about their defensive line pressure. You know, Ben has stayed pretty clean this year. What's working in the passing game? Is it the line? Is it the scheme that is allowing him to sort of stay upright more often?
You know, I think it's a combination of all of the above. I think our offensive line has done a nice job of protecting. I think our backs and tight ends have done a nice job of working their way out, as we say. I think receivers have done a nice job getting open. Ben's made quick decisions. It's almost always a collective effort when you're talking about the protection of your quarterback.
Mike, Antonio was flagged for a taunting play. You said after the game you hadn't seen it. Have you taken a look at it and spoken to Antonio about that situation?
Yeah, I not only spoke to Antonio, but I spoke to our team about it. And, you know, briefly, what I said is that it was not respectable. And those of us that know Antonio and watch him work on a day-to-day basis, if one word describes him professionally, is respectable. How he prepares, what he's willing to do, what kind of teammate he is, and that should be represented in his play. And that's the way we approached it. I thought it was an awesome learning opportunity for the entire group, because as professionals, I think that's a word that I think that everyone would want to describe their play. I think people that don't see your work on a day-to-day basis are capable of making judgments about you personally and professionally based on what they see. And so we want to do what's respectable. And that's what we talked about, and we kind of moved on.
Mike, would you ever get to the point where if a person was a repeat offender, as you said before, with some of the special teams guys, that you would bench them, even a starter of his caliber, for doing that repeatedly?
I'm not into hypotheticals. I deal with things as they come across my desk.
Mike, regarding Tomahu, he's been reinstated. Is there anything else on your radar as far as his roster status? Is there a chance he might be released?
You know, we'll deal with that. We have a couple days exemption from the league, obviously. We're going to do what's best for us professionally here in an effort to win this game this weekend. Obviously, he's still in play. Obviously, we got a decision to make, and we'll make it at the appropriate time.
Mike, you mentioned that the Giants are doing things to win games. Do you know Coach Coughlin very well? And just your thoughts on what his input is to this team that's won two Super Bowls in recent years. Yeah.
Got a great deal of respect for Coach Coughlin. I consider him a friend. He calls me Mikey. you know, he's got a proven, consistent formula for winning, man. I got a great deal of respect for Coach. You know, he's his best self. He stays true to who he is, and I got a lot of respect for that.
When they won their first Super Bowl, they had a really strong running game. Not that they don't now, but as time has gone on, do they rely on Eli more and more and more as he's evolved?
You know, I think like most teams in the NFL, of course, particularly ones that are well coached, they tend to play to their strengths, and you can't deny that Eli has been a strength for them for a number of years. And I think with the big time emergence of a guy like Victor Cruz, that I think it just lends itself to playing to your strengths. And you know, if you turn on some tape and you watch the 78, 80-yard touchdowns from Manning to Cruz, you know why they throw the football some.
Coach, you went from preparing for a rookie quarterback that was mobile now to a veteran guy who's pure pocket. How does that change how you prepare this week?
You know, it's life in the National Football League. It's this week's challenge. The other one is in our rearview mirror. And so we're singularly focused on what's in front of us and what it is that we need to do to minimize what Eli and the New York Giants collectively are capable of doing to us. But we'll always be ourselves. We'll stay within our personality. I think that's a formula for success for us. Obviously, we'll highlight some components of our attack as opposed to others, maybe to minimize what their weapons are capable of. But one thing I promise, we're going to stay within our personality.
Mike, could I understand you correctly when you were talking about Ryan Clark? If he passes these tests, he could play, or
yes,
you're still?
That is correct.
Mike, you have you go back with Will Allen to Tampa. Just talk a little bit about the way he's played the past couple weeks, including Sunday.
You know, he's done a nice job. He hasn't been perfect, but he's been Will. He plays with a great deal of energy. He's a very deliberate physical contact guy. He doesn't shy away from those things. I think he's getting better with each snap, and he's been playing winning football for us, and we appreciate not only his contributions on defense, and I think sometimes that gets highlighted, and rightfully so, but he's been a consistent special teams performer for us, not only this year, but since he's been here.
Coach, in regards to the, quote, dink and dunk offense, you guys are number two in time of possession in the league. So are you pleased with the progression of the offense?
You know, we're 4-3. You know, not only offensively but defensively and from a special team standpoint. I like to think that we're a group on the rise and one that's gelling and coming together and solidifying a personality. But we're as good as the next tape that we put out. And so we're humbly preparing for this next opportunity, and we know it's a big one.
Mike, you mentioned personality. Do you feel that Sunday's game was the best illustration thus far of forging an identity, both offensively and defensively? Are you beginning to see, you know, what this team is and who they are?
I think we'll continue to do that. I just think that's the stage that we're in this football season. You know, we need to continue to be a team on the rise as we push toward the latter half of the season. I've always thought that the one that is the eventual world champion needs to be the one on the rise. Obviously, we didn't get off to a great start. The last couple of weeks, we've taken steps to rectify that, but we're faced with a stiff challenge this week, one that we respect and one that we're excited about at the same time.
Mike, when you guys have looked at the Giants, what are some of the biggest reasons they've been able to – 16 interceptions is a ton. How have they been able to do that?
You know, it's simple. They put consistent pressure on the quarterback, which provides opportunities, I think, on the back end. Rush and coverage work together. It always has. It always will. I think with the talent that they have up front and the way they employ them and the consistent pressure that they put on opposing quarterbacks, it breaks them down over the course of football games, and the ball eventually ends up in the hands of guys like Stevie Brown and Roll and Webster and others.
So fortunate enough to get both Dwyer and Redmond healthy and suited up. Would Dwyer still start, or would Redmond go back in the start?
Again, like I said, I'm not a big hypothetical guy. I'm going to live day-to-day throughout this week and work with the guys that are healthy in preparation and kind of make the decision as we go.
I guess so is this the biggest test you think that your O-line has faced so far in terms of a pass rush?
You know, I say that every week. You know, so I could say that and the answer would be yes and it'd be true, but it might be untrue next week.
Mike, can you talk about what you guys saw in Jonathan Dwyer coming out of the draft and sort of maybe the peaks and valleys he's traveled to get where he is right now?
You know, we thought he was a talented young guy with upside. He was a third-year junior when he came out. He was ACC Player of the Year. Had some consistent performances. He had a nice combination of experience and youth. You know, 1,400 yards or whatever his last 2 years, but he was still 20 years old. We liked the upside. He's grown and matured since he's been here and getting an opportunity and showing us what he's capable of, and we expect that to continue.
Mike, you talk about the appropriate time to deal with Tiamu. He's got a court date, I guess, next week. Are you waiting to see how the legal process plays out, or is it something he has to do in-house to get?
They're really separate issues. He's got in-house issues. Of course, he has legal issues, and he has National Football League issues, such as life.
Mike, after the game Sunday, James Harrison said that he feels better than he did last week, and he's getting surely better and better each week. He's only missed one play so far since he's been back. Just your thoughts on how he's holding up, how he's playing.
I agree with him. He's getting better. And this is a guy that had, of course, no preseason work and training camp and so forth. I think he's getting better with every snap, and hopefully he's even better this week.
Anything else, Coach?
All right.
Thank you.